Let God transform your life as you listen to this inspiring sermon by Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb.
Anansi Sam Siso. Once upon a time, not too long ago, Kweku Anansi came with his wife and his son Intikuma to Accra for the very first time. He was watching all the traffic. He saw the mighty buildings and the great crowds of people, and he was very impressed. But he was most impressed when he found the magic metal box. He discovered the magic metal box when he went inside Silver Star Tower at Airport City. He saw the reception desk, the marble floors, the shiny glass windows, and then in front of him was a shiny metal box. And above it was written the word, lift. Kweku Anansi didn't know what a lift was, but he decided to watch and see what would happen. And sure enough, after just a moment, an old woman with no teeth and very bad hair came walking with a cane. She stood in front of this magic metal box called lift, and the doors opened, and she went inside, and the doors closed. Anansi wondered what would happen. He decided to wait and see. What he didn't know is that the lift took this woman to the second floor where she got off, and in her place became a beautiful young lady whose polish matched her lipstick, who matched her earrings, who matched her purse, who matched her handbag, who matched her belt, who matched her shoes. She was a picture of loveliness. Everybody say loveliness. She got in the lift in the place of the old woman and then came down. Anansi was waiting with his son Intikuma when all of a sudden the doors opened and out came this beautiful lady whose earrings matched her lipstick, matched her polish, matched her belt, matched her handbag, and matched her shoes. She was a picture of loveliness. Everybody say loveliness. He was so stunned. He didn't know what had happened, but he knew an old, ugly woman went in, and the doors closed, and then they opened, and out came this beautiful woman. He said to his son, Intikuma, quick, go bring your mother. I want to put her in the box. Don't you wish change was that easy? Don't you wish you could just go inside a magic metal box and all of a sudden come out with the new you? But sadly, the fact is, there's no magic metal box that can change who you are. There's no injection you can take, no pill you can swallow that can transform you into a new person. And because of that, oftentimes many of us think that change is not possible. But the good news for all of us is that God can change us. See, change is not only possible in the Christian life, it is essential. For Jesus didn't come and die just to get you to heaven one day by and by. He came to change you here and now and in the life to come. He gave that high price for a very high goal. He came to make you into his own image. And when we come near to him by faith, we can experience the transformation that he wants to bring to our lives. That's the truth in our sermon today, a sermon entitled The Truth About Righteousness. We're going to discover God's desire to change us from unrighteous to righteous, from sinners to saints. And we're going to learn how that transformation takes place. But before we do, let's bow our heads and pray together. Almighty Father, we thank you today in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We give you the praise and glory because you are the one who has created us. You are the one who comes to make us new. And I pray today, Lord, that you'll open the eyes of our understanding and give us the wisdom and revelation that we need so that we can walk with you and be transformed. You didn't save us just to get us to heaven. You didn't save us just have our sins forgiven, but you changed us so that we could become like you. And I pray today, Lord, that every distraction, every disruption, every deception of the enemy would be silent and bound. And I loose the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of the living God, to move in our hearts today that we might see that transformation implemented in our lives. We give you the praise and glory now in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. Well, I want to invite you to take a moment and pray with me. Just put your hand on your chest and say after me, Lord Jesus, speak to my heart, change my life, manifest your glory in me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, good morning once again. Welcome to Agape House New Testament Church. I'm so glad that you're here. I believe God brought you here for a purpose. You're not here by accident. He brought you here to change you so that his word could make a difference in your life. Just tell your neighbor, you need to be changed. See, the truth is God's word changes us. It is the eternal, life-giving seed. The Bible says it's an imperishable seed. And when that seed takes hold in us, it brings forth new life. It takes root and it grows up. And God sent his word today so that it would take root in your heart and grow up to produce something new. That's why throughout this month, we've dubbed it Bible Challenge Month. We're going deeper into God's word than ever because we know that that is the word of life, the word of eternity, the word that will change and transform us. God's word gives us the power, the grace, and the direction to become all that he wants us to be. And to help us learn God's word every week, we're studying a sermon series called Is That in the Bible. But you see, the fact is every doctrine, every decision, every dream, every direction that we face must be evaluated in the light of God's word. So every week we're looking at some popular teachings, some popular sayings to find out, is that in the Bible? We began 2 weeks ago with a message, The Solid Rock, talking about the Word of God itself. For here at Agape House, we believe the Bible from cover to cover, and we even believe the cover when it says Holy Bible. We believe the Bible is our standard for every doctrine, for every practice, and every belief. And so because of that, we've got to look to the Word of God for every decision, direction, and doctrine, and ask ourselves, is that in the Bible? And we began that last week by examining one of the most popular beliefs in the world today that says there are many ways to God. A lot of people believe that it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. But as we saw last week, you can be sincere, but be sincerely wrong. And God's word makes it very clear that Jesus Christ claimed himself to be the only way to heaven. God's word says that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and he sent his word to us to deliver us. He is who he says he is. He rose from the dead. He's unique in all of history. He was fully man and fully God, and we can trust him to save us. And that topic brings us to this week, where we see the implications of Christ's claims. You see, if Jesus is who he says he is, if he is God, if he is the Lord and the Creator, then that puts an obligation on us to be different. It puts an obligation on us to obey him. It puts an obligation on us to have allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ. For the fact is, when Jesus said, follow me, he was calling us not just to be saved, not just to escape hell's fires and get to heaven, but he's calling us to actually walk as he walked. And that's the truth we're going to find in the scripture text we're going to study this morning. To help us, we printed sermon notes. They look like this. They're inside your bulletin. And I invite you to take out your notes now and follow along with me as we discover three truths about righteousness. And to do that, we're going to study the story of a little short guy named Zacchaeus. To help me with the reading of the gospel today, our brother TK is coming to give us Luke 19, 1-8. And then I'm going to ask all of us to join together and read verses 9 and 10 at the end. Go ahead, TK. Luke 19, 1-8.
Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked at Zacchaeus and called him by name. Zacchaeus, he said, quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner, they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord, and if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much.
All right, here we go. Let's read verses 9 and 10 out loud together. Ready, go. Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to your hearts today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I want you to stop and think with me for a moment about the dramatic transformation in the life of this man. He experiences the most amazing transformation that anyone ever has in life. He went from a sinner to a saint. He went from being a thief to being generous. He went from being far from God to being commended by Christ himself. And this was a change that was far more reaching, far more consequential than any other change known to man. For the first time in his life, Zacchaeus experiences the grace and the love and the forgiveness of God. It comes with peace and joy and life. And when he did that, he went from outcast to included. He went from sinner to saint, from darkness to life, from death to life. His heart was made new. But it wasn't just a theoretical change. It wasn't just an internal mental ascent. Not only did Zacchaeus experience internal change, he experienced external change as well. This grace of God made him righteous both inside and out. And the good news for all of us today is that this same change can happen to each and every one of us as we discover the three truths about righteousness. And here's your first truth today. Righteousness is beyond my reach, but it is not unreachable. If you would, just take your pens and fill in the blanks with the words reach and unreachable. Righteousness is beyond my reach, but it is not unreachable. Think about this story for a minute. In verse 3, the Bible says Zacchaeus was too short to see over the crowd. So the Bible is telling us here that there was a barrier between Zacchaeus and Jesus Christ. He was too short to see Jesus. This barrier is found in verses 2 and 3. It says he was the chief tax collector in the region. He'd become very wealthy through dubious means, and he tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short. This man literally had shortcomings. You know, friends, I'm a tall man, but I have nothing against short people. Some of my best friends are short people. In fact, Jesus has a special promise for short people. He said in the Bible, "Lo, I am with you always." So if you're low today, don't worry, Jesus is with you. Give a clap for short people. Amen. But the Bible here is using this to symbolically tell us that when you're too short to see God, it means you've fallen short of the righteousness that God expects from us. The fact is, this represents something to us. It represents the fact that on our own, each and every one of us is falling short of the glory of God. That's what the Bible tells us in Romans 3:10. It says, all people, whether Jews or Gentiles, are under the power of sin. As the scriptures say, no one is righteous, not even one. And in order to understand righteousness, you have to know today that it is beyond your own reach. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing in you that commends you to God. When you fall short of God's standard, you cannot write a check to purchase forgiveness. You cannot go to ministries and meet somebody to buy your way to heaven. No matter how you dress, you can't cover your sin. No matter how high you rise in society, you cannot rise to the level of God's expectation. No matter how good you look and the polish you wear, you can't purify your own heart. Righteousness is beyond my reach. Not only are there internal barriers, there are external barriers. The Bible says in verse 7 that the crowd despised him. They looked at him and said, "He's the guest of a notorious sinner." Zacchaeus is a notorious sinner, they said. And this represents to us the fact that people in the world will want to set up a human standard of external behavior in order to get righteous with God. People will always tell you you've got to do more, work harder, be nicer to get men's approval. The men in the world said, if you would do better, you will be righteous before God. But the facts are that all your good works can't make you righteous. In Galatians 3, the Bible says, those who depend on the law to make them right with God are under his curse. For the scriptures say, cursed is everyone who does not observe and obey all the commands that are written in God's book of the law. So it is clear that no one can be made right with God by trying to keep the law. In fact, your good works are actually a barrier to God's righteousness, because when you depend upon your good works, you exclude the righteousness that comes by faith. You will focus on the external and neglect the internal. You will live for the applause of men. Jesus pointed this out to the people in his day and age in Luke 16:15, when he said to them, "You like to appear righteous in public, but God knows your hearts. What this world honors is detestable in the sight of God." So internally, you have a barrier because of your own sin and inadequacy. And externally, there's nothing you can do to please God. You may please people, But when you live by the standards of men, it is detestable to God. And the fact is, one day all of us will be found out. Many years ago, there was an emperor in China who loved great music. This man had a large orchestra, and he paid the instrumentalists to practice day and night so they could play for him at any time. Well, one time there was a man who wanted to enter the orchestra because he thought it was an easy job and he'd get paid without doing any work. He could not play a single note on the instrument, but he bribed his way in and got hired as a flutist in the orchestra. Every time the orchestra would play, he'd put the flute to his mouth and move his fingers and pretend, but no sound would come from his flute. He depended on the sound of the other instruments to cover his deception. He received a modest salary and lived a comfortable life, but one day the emperor said, "I want every one of my instrumentalists individually to come and play for me." The flutist got nervous. He couldn't play a note on the flute. There was no time to learn the instrument. He pretended to be sick, but the royal physician was not fooled. And so on the day his solo performance was scheduled, he drank poison and killed himself. The explanation of his suicide led to a phrase that made its way into the English language. He refused to face the music. And today you can pretend to be part of God's orchestra. You can dress the part. You can act the part. You can move with the right people. You can put the instrument to your mouth and pretend to play. And no one notices because you say the right things, you dress the right way, you go the right places with the right people. But there will come a day when you will stand alone before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to give account of your own life. On that day you will be separated from everyone else. And the question will be, what have you done with Jesus? Did you appear righteous externally, but internally you were full of sin? Or did you act in a way that everyone thought you were good, but God sees your heart? For see, you can look at these two barriers, internal and external, and today you can feel discouraged. And the conclusion that a lot of people come to is that it's impossible to be righteous. We are flesh and blood. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So let's just give up and do whatever we want. But the fact is, even though righteousness is beyond your reach, it is not unreachable. For the fact is, in the midst of this need in Zacchaeus' life, suddenly Jesus comes to him. In verse 5, the Bible says Jesus comes to the tree where Zacchaeus is hiding, and he looks up at him and says, "Zacchaeus, quickly come down. I must be your guest in your house today." And here we begin to see the way forward in righteousness. It comes only through Jesus Christ. Suddenly, in the midst of his own alienation, Christ comes and calls him to himself. And this is what Jesus always does for every one of us. For he said in Matthew 9, "Healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. For I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners." Jesus came to Zacchaeus just as he was. He overcame the barriers. And Jesus does the same for you today. He reaches you right where you are. He calls you as a sinner so that he can bring righteousness to you. When you're too short, when you're too sinful, when you're too far from God, this is a job for Jesus Christ. When you're at the end of the rope, it's time for Jesus. When you can't, he can. When others won't, he will. Somebody shout hallelujah. And your life may be far from God. You may be too short to see Jesus. You may be stuck behind the crowd and despised as an outcast. You may be successful in business, but a failure at home. You may be rich in money, but poor in peace. But you are the one he came to call. He didn't come for the healthy. He came for the hurting. He didn't come for the whole. He came for the broken. He didn't come just to save you and get you to heaven. He came to change you and transform you, to take you out of sin and make you what you could never be on your own, righteous before God. Some people say we can never be righteous, but that's not true. Jesus came for the purpose of making you live a righteous life. For listen to the great prophecy in Luke 1. "Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited and redeemed his people. He has sent us a mighty Savior." So, somebody say so. He sent us a mighty Savior so we can serve God without fear in holiness and righteousness for as long as we live. Turn your notes over to page 2 and consider today that the reason Jesus came was not just to wash you, although he does that. He came so that you could live righteous on this earth as long as you live. He didn't send you a Savior just to get you to heaven. He didn't send you a Savior just to get you out of hell. He sent a Savior so we could live righteously. That's why he says in John 16, 10, righteousness is available because I go to the Father. And that brings us to our second truth today. Righteousness is a free gift that requires my response. If you would, take your pen, fill in the blanks with the word gift and response. See, Jesus comes to give us that gift of righteousness, but there's a response all of us must make. In verse 6, listen to Zacchaeus' response. It says, he quickly took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. And here we see the beginning of his breakthrough to righteousness. He refused to allow the barriers to keep him from Christ. And here's the truth you need to pack up and take home with you today. Righteousness is a free gift. There is nothing you can do to earn it or work for it. But you can put yourself in a position where you're a candidate to become righteous. That's what the Bible tells us in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. God saved you by his grace when you believed. Everybody say, when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done, so none of us can boast about it. And the fact is, there's nothing you can do to earn salvation. You can't take credit for the grace. But at the beginning of verse 8, there is a response required of you. It comes to us by faith. Faith is the open window through which grace flows. Faith is the bridge that makes a way for grace to enter. Most of you know that we have an orphanage, a children's home, out at Oyarif, a beautiful compound called the Agape Children's Village. And every once in a while, I get the opportunity to go out there. When I arrive, all the children usually come running to greet me. But after the first few introductions and hugs and handshakes and greetings, most of the boys will drift back to the football field. The girls will go back to their studies. But I happened to notice as I kept going out there was one little boy in particular that no matter what he'd been doing before, no matter what everyone else was doing, this little boy became my shadow for as long as I was there. He would just follow me around, just looking at me, asking for my attention, asking for my love, asking for my sympathy. And when everyone else had gone to play, he was still there looking at me with those big, lovely brown eyes that would melt my heart. He didn't do anything to earn my affection. He didn't do anything to deserve being singled out. But he put himself in a position where he became my favorite. He put himself in a position where I gave him my attention, my sympathy, and my love. God's grace is available to every one of us. But you can put yourself in a position where you receive more of him. You can come to him in humility, in worship, in praise. You can come to him today and make the attention of heaven fall upon you. It's a gift, but if you seek righteousness, you will receive. If you begin to desire it more than anything, you'll become a righteous person. That's why over and over again, the Bible says, seek righteousness. In 1 Timothy 6:11, it says, pursue righteousness and a godly life. And then again in 2 Timothy 2, it says, run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. And I believe there's an explosion of righteousness coming to this church. I believe that God is transforming people internally and externally. I believe that as we go into the new year and seek him like never before, our lives will be transformed. God is raising us up as a light and a testimony of his glory. He's going to pour out righteousness upon us. He's given us everything we need to be righteous. He shed his blood and puts a robe of righteousness upon us. But we cannot simply sit here and wait for the robe of righteousness to fall from heaven. We need to get up and pursue it. We need to get up and seek it. We need to get up and ask God to give it to us. Today, a lot of churches teach there's nothing we can do, so let's just sit and wait for God. It's all in His hands. And I realize that God has to do most of the work. He has to forgive us. He had to send His Son Jesus to die for us. But that doesn't exclude us from participating in His grace. We can't work for it, but we can put ourselves in a place where we're candidates for righteousness. That's why the Bible tells us in Ephesians 4, 24 to 30, put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. And a lot of people stop there and say, oh, I'm just going to cover myself with the robe of righteousness. And they think of it as some type of mystical, theoretical thing. But God goes on to tell us what it means to put on the robe of righteousness. So stop telling lies. Don't sin by letting anger control you. If you're a thief, quit stealing. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Put on righteousness. Stop telling lies. Stop letting anger control you. Stop stealing. Stop using foul language. Stop bringing sorrow to God by the way you live. Tell your neighbor he's talking about you. You may feel today, I don't have the strength to do that. I can't. I've tried. It failed. But the strength doesn't come from you. It comes from God as you wait upon Him and seek Him. As you stay in His Word, He gives you the grace. For the power to change comes from God, but the choice to change comes from us. A few years ago, I heard a true story, a testimony of a Christian woman named Sarah. We'll call her Sarah. That's not her real name, but for privacy's sake. She and her husband had been married for a long time, and the marriage had gone stale. They didn't get along well. They were always quarreling, fighting about one thing or the other. She lost interest in him, and he lost interest in her. He'd gotten fat and sloppy. She'd gotten ungroomed and unkempt. It looked like their marriage was headed for divorce. But just so happened that next door there lived a handsome young man. We'll call him Robert. Robert showed a lot of interest in Sarah. He listened to her when she talked. She used to tell him her problems, and he would laugh with her and cry with her. And he would tell her his struggles at work, and she would encourage him. And as time grew, their affection grew. In fact, the man seemed to be a dream come true. Not only did he like Sarah, but he also showed an interest in her three children. He seemed to really genuinely care about them, unlike her husband, their father, who couldn't be bothered with their schoolwork or anything else about them. Robert seemed to love her three children. One day, Sarah's husband traveled. That night, Sarah put the children to bed in the bedrooms, and suddenly there was a knock on the door. She went to the parlor and turned on the parlor lights and opened the door, and there stood Robert. He told her he'd just come to say goodnight and to check on her and the children. But Sarah knew there was more. She stood at the door talking with her heart racing. What should she do? Robert wanted to come in and say goodnight to the children. So she let him in. He walked into the house, looked deep into her eyes, and then silently walked to the back, to the dark bedrooms, to say goodnight to the children. And Sarah stood in the light in the parlor and faced a choice. She knew if she walked down that hall to the dark bedrooms, she would commit adultery. And everything in her wanted to walk down that hall, but suddenly the Holy Spirit said to her, stay in the light. Stay in the light. If she stayed in the light, nothing would happen. If she stayed in the light, she was safe from sin and temptation. If she stayed in the light, nothing bad would happen. For a long time, Sarah stood there in the light, and Robert waited in the dark. But when Sarah never followed him down the hall to the dark bedrooms, he eventually came out, said goodnight, walked out without looking back, and never returned again. And from that moment on, Sarah decided that the best way to save her marriage was to stay in the light. She started going back to church. She started talking to her husband. They began praying together and reading the Bible. And suddenly God began to work in their marriage. A new love grew between them. The darkness may seem tempting to you today, but stay in the light. The darkness may be calling you, but stay in the light. The darkness may tell you, I can hide your sin, but stay in the light. The darkness will tell you, no one will know, no one will discover, but the light offers you safety and protection. Do not go down the dark hallway. Stay in the light and put yourself in a position where you can live righteous. And that brings us to our third truth today. Righteousness comes by faith and results in right living. Take your pen, if you would, fill in the blanks with the words results and right. Righteousness comes by faith and results in right living. Listen to the powerful conclusion to our story in verse 9. The Bible says that Zacchaeus got excited and started pledging his goods to the poor. He said, I'll give half my wealth to the poor. If I've cheated anybody, I'll return four times what I stole from them. And this is the response of Jesus Christ in verse 9. He says, salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself. Somebody say, shown himself. This man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. And look at the transforming power of grace in Zacchaeus' life. He went from a cheater to a giver. He stood up and said, I'm going to pay back the money I stole. I'm going to give to the poor. He wasn't just talking about Jesus. He became like Jesus. He didn't just say a sinner's prayer. He left the sinner's life and walked in righteousness. And I believe the transforming power of God's righteousness is greater than the power of every sin in your life today. The power of God's grace changed him, and the power of God's grace can change you as well. And here's the truth you need to pack up and take home with you today. The power of Jesus is enough to change any heart. There is no sin so strong, his blood cannot cleanse it. There is no temptation so great, his spirit cannot break it. There's no force so powerful, God cannot overcome it in your life. If you believe it, shout amen. Amen. The fact is, if you have a defect in your body, you will correct it. Men go to great lengths today to have medical procedures to correct malfunctions. If you have poor eyesight, you go to the eye doctor and get eyeglasses. You can even have laser surgery to correct your eyesight. You can have fat removed. All the ladies said amen. You can have your eyebrows changed. You can take out the one God gave you and paint a different one. God bless you. You can have your cheeks raised. Your lips made fuller, you can have your wrinkles removed, you can have your buttocks reduced or enlarged as you like, you can have your skin bleached, you can change the way you look. If you have a defective kidney, they can take out the bad one and put in a new. If you have a defective heart, they can take out the bad one and put in the new. But God says to you today, I am the Almighty, and I can change you on the inside better than any doctor can change you on the outside. I am the great physician, and I can cleanse your soul better than any physician can cleanse your wound. If doctors can remove cancer, I can remove the power of sin from you. And God wants to change you today. He formed you and fashioned you. He knows the destiny he has for you, and he wants to make you into his image. When God comes in and changes you, it is evident to the whole world. When God comes and changes you, it results in right living. And today, some people believe a lie that says, oh, when God sees me, he doesn't see me, he sees Jesus. That's not in the Bible. Some people say, well, it doesn't matter how I live, my past, present, and future sins are covered by the blood. That is not in the Bible. The only sins covered by the blood are sins you confess and repent of. If you prayed a sinner's prayer, it doesn't take away your obligation to walk in holiness and righteousness. The Bible says in 1 John 3:7, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is right. Righteousness is not just a theory, it results in right living. The truth is, when God sees you, he sees you. But he wants to change you. If you'll give your life to Christ, if you'll welcome him inside of you, his power to transform you will give you the grace to change. That's why Romans 6, 16 to 18 says, don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. That's the lesson we learned from the true story of a guy named Ted DiBiase. Ted DiBiase was a professional wrestler with the WWF. He was a crazy guy. His nickname was the Million Dollar Man. He was rude, crude, and mean. His motto was, money isn't everything, it's the only thing. Everyone has a price. At the height of his fame, he wrestled in front of great crowds. He seemed to have it all, women, wealth, success, and fame. He appeared in matches all over the world, yet he wasn't satisfied. I was trying to fill a void in my life, Ted says. But what things and money and fame couldn't do for Ted, Jesus Christ did. Listen to what he says about sin in his own words. I found out the hard way, all those things at the end of the day, I found all those things to be empty. But the thing that's most unbelievable about God is his grace and mercy. Today, Ted DiBiase is a full-time evangelist. He travels the world telling people about the power of Jesus Christ to change lives. And he talks about the change in his own life. You see, the fact is, just like Ted, just like Zacchaeus, God can take the worst sinner and make you a saint. No matter how far you are from God, no matter how many barriers there are between you and the Lord, internal or external, Jesus can come and not just cover you, but he can change you. He can make you righteous. That's the powerful truth in our final scripture found in the book of Romans chapter 5, verse 17 and 19. Listen carefully. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater than the sin, even greater than the death, even greater than Adam, even greater than the flesh, is God's wonderful gift, grace, his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin. All who receive the gift live in triumph over sin. All who receive the gift don't just have some certificate to show to get into heaven, but they're changed here. All who receive the gift live in righteousness, in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. That's the truth about righteousness. It's a gift, unattainable on your own, but possible through Jesus. That's the truth about righteousness. It's a gift that comes by faith, but requires our response. And when it comes, it changes us from the inside out. That's my prayer for you today. My prayer is that you will accept the righteousness of God, that you will seek it, and that you'll allow Christ's power to change you. Shall we pray? Almighty and everlasting Father, we thank you today because you are the great, the kind, and the merciful God. We do not deserve you, Lord. But your love is so great, your compassion so wonderful. You came to die on the cross so that our sins could be forgiven. You didn't stop there, Lord. You didn't just want to give us a ticket to heaven, a free pass. You wanted to do something deeper in us. And I know there are many of us here today, Lord, that have yet to fully experience what you want to do. We've taken the first step. We've gone forward by faith to have our sins forgiven, but we've not had our sinful lifestyle changed. And I ask today, Lord, that you will search our hearts by the power of your word and your spirit. Search our hearts today, Lord, that we might know and understand the power in us through Christ, through the Spirit, and through the word to transform us from the inside out. Give us a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. As we seek your word, shine the light of truth upon us so that we might stay in the light and walk in your ways. We thank you now. In Jesus' name, amen.
God bless you for listening to this message. Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb is the senior pastor of Agape House New Testament Church in East Lagon. If you are ever in Accra, we would like you to worship with us on Saturday night at 6 p.m. or on Sunday at 7:30, 9:30, or 11:30 a.m. You will have an awesome experience.
We're here, I think.